This is Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and your questions, all about NPB. And now your hosts, Johnny Gibson and Jim Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of October 7th. Woo, it's October already. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Saturday night is my buddy Jim Allen. What's up, dude?
Good. I got a smile on my face tonight.
Is that because of all the jokes I was telling before we went on mic?
Yes, pretty much, actually. Yes. Yes, for a change. You didn't have to, you didn't have to tell me there were jokes. I didn't have to worry about the cue to laugh.
Well, this time I wasn't the only one laughing. Yeah.
No, it's true.
Man, we're almost done with this thing. We're almost done with the regular season. And I want to say postseason's greetings to everybody, but we're not there yet. We got a couple of straggler games here.
Yeah, we've got the
leftovers.
Leftovers indeed.
Yes, you can warm them up as much as you want. They don't taste as good the second night or third night.
No, I grew up on leftovers, dude.
I'm just saying they don't taste as good. No. So, all right. Well, on this week's show, we've got Gregory Polanco of Lotte. We're going to look at the playoff teams and talk about those matchups. We go rocking with Roki, hit on Tomoyuki Sugano's major jump and Akinobu Okada's major shock. And if we have time, we'll handle some high heat. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right. So, geesh. I've been doing double interviews for so long. I don't even know when this interview took place, but it was recently. Let's put it that way. And I went to Save a Dome. The same day I talked to Dallas Keuchel of the Marines, I met up with Gregory, or GP, I like to call him, but Gregory Polanco. And I love Gregory. He's another member of the Handsome Man Club here in Japan. Really, really good looking guy. Really fun, really friendly. He's in his third year in NPB, and he started with the Giants in 2022. He has been with the Marines the past two seasons, and he has done well enough, I would think, that he's going to earn some more time in Chiba. If he wants to move to, there's some other offensively challenged teams out there that could use some left-handed pop. So if he doesn't return to the Marines, I think some other teams would pick him up and he'd be able to stay in NPB. So I expect to see him back here in Japan next year. And he and I weren't able to make a connection earlier this year at Tokyo Dome and in the summer, but I caught up with him, at Seibu. And again, it was hot. It was still hot. It was hot a couple of days ago. It's supposed to be, they tell us, Jim, that it's October. Know. But it doesn't.
No, it is October.
No, that's what they keep saying. But you go and ask Mr. Weather, and Mr. Weather says, I'm still hot.
Well, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
And some like it hot. So it was hot when we talked. So again, I had to stay away from the fan in the dugout. But Gregory has this quirky stat in his career MPB numbers in that he has hit. Now it's up to 73 home runs, but only 57 doubles. And each year of his time in Japan, he has more home runs than doubles. So he talks about that, the softer, quote unquote, softer ball and those home runs and how difficult it is to get a double and more. So let's have a listen.
Mm. How are you doing? Gregory Polanco. Thank you for taking time.
You know, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here. You know, it's always an honor. So, you know. I'm great. I'm doing great. I'm alive. I'm healthy, and I'm playing the sport that I love. So yeah. I'm playing baseball.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. Now, how are the Marines? Because you had this long winning streak, and then kind of leveled off.
You know, like as everybody else, we got a little tired, a little injuries. That's when Roki he went to the IL, and. Who else? There was like two pitchers, you know, and then we started losing a little bit, but you know, we back playing good baseball game, and you know, we're gonna keep working really hard to finish the season strong.
So, you know, the ball. People have been talking about the ball is different this year. What have you noticed about the ball?
No, definitely. It's my opinion. is, I think it's, they're a different boat. I mean, last year or even 2 years ago, yeah, I can't, you know, like hitting the ball, there's so many, you know, I still hitting the ball hard, but it, like you notice, like last year and this year, I noticed like I hit baseball probably the same. The same velocity, and then they don't travel the same. But you know, I don't try to let that get in my head. I'm trying to go there with, you know, execute my approach and my plan, and then whatever happens, happens.
Now I noticed something interesting about you. You have more home runs than doubles every year here in Japan.
Yeah, it's hard to hit doubles here. The outfielder, they're super fast, you know. Those guys are super fast. They get to the ball. I'm like back home, like back in the major league. I remember that used to be double, even triples. Here, they get to the ball so fast, and I'm like, you know, I just stay, and then, you know, and then the hamstring injury happened. So
hamstring injury happened because you were trying
to run too fast. I tried to go too fast, man. I tried.
You're not 20.
Yeah, I'm not 20 anymore. I'm about to be 33 tomorrow. So, oh. you know, I had to slow down. But, you know, I tried to hustle, man, and try to get some extra base here whenever I can. But here it's tough, definitely. And the ballpark, they're, you know, they're that smaller, so they cover more ground.
Right.
And the ball here is faster, so. Usually in grass, natural grass, the ball is like, so you give you a little bit more time to get to second.
Gotcha. All right, now, when you guys were winning 11 straight games and unbeaten in a bunch of games, when did you guys start to notice this is a really good winning streak? Like, when did you guys?
To be honest, like, when we were like six or seven games, I think, that's when we're like, oh. We had like something good going on, you know. So because we were so in the moment in the game, we did not notice. Like we were just, you know, because we were like focusing, like let's get this play, let's get, you know, this out, let's win this game, and then tomorrow let's do it again, you know. And then we were like, oh, we got 8-7 games, let's keep going, you know. So that's when we noticed, like, and we really start talking about it, like, you know, let's keep going.
How did the locker room change when you guys started to win those games?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, those guys right here, man, I love them because they're, even when we lose a game, when we win a game, they're the same every day. You know, there's a great energy. I love our clubhouse, our energy, our guys, their teammates. My teammates, man, they're great. I love them. They bring the same energy every day. You know, there's some guys that are loud. There's some guys that are, you know, quiet, and they bring the same energy every day, so you know what to expect from them. So I love that. But you know, we are really like a family here, you know, and I can say, you know, this is the best, one of the best clubhouse that I ever, you know, like group of guys that I ever play with, and you know, I'm joining it.
I bet you're a little bit loud in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I bet.
Definitely.
All right, so the playoffs are coming soon. The Eagles, you know, have been tough. The Fighters have been really good. What have you noticed about the Fighters in particular? It's different from last year.
They're hitting, man. They're hitting. They're really tough to beat because you score 3 on them and the next inning, like literally at the same inning, they go back on on offense and they score on you right away. It's not like the way it's like, oh, you know, like we get them later. No, it's like right, they go right back in offense and they score on you right away. It's like, wow, it's like really unbelievable, like what they're doing. So, you know, it's a tough team to be, but you know, we go over there, and, you know, we fight, and they come here and then we fight. You know? It's like us all the team, you know, you win and you lose, but they're playing good baseball right now.
Now, you've been good this year. Neftali Soto has had some really good streaks, but he's been hitting for power,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Opposite field home runs a lot.
Yeah.
And now you guys pick up Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
So what's your outlook for the postseason? I know it's regular season's not finished.
Yeah.
You got to finish in third or second. But what's your outlook for the postseason?
No, Dallas definitely, that was a great beat. Dallas Keuchel, definitely a great pitcher, you know. Hall of Famer, he probably gonna be Hall of Famer. Great pitcher, Cy Young. But man, Neftali Soto, he's been unbelievable. He was like because I've been like up and down a lot, you know, like my offense has been not like as how you say
consistent, steady,
and consistent, you know. So but Nestle, he's been there helping us, you know, helping the team to win, and we're here because of him. We're definitely like in the top battle right now because of Nestle, because you see how good he's producing. RBI in a tough situation, like he's been, he looking out for us, and he put in the work. He's a great guy. I love him. He's my brother, and you know, I'm happy to have him here. And I hope he stay here for, you know, many years.
Okay. All right. Well, take care. Stay healthy, and get some doubles.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. Good luck.
All right, so those dudes are fast, man. Those dudes are super fast getting to the ball.
Small and fast. Stealthy. Stealthy outfield ninjas.
So what stood out for you?
A whole bunch. What a sweet interview. And, of course, I can't, you know, me and my caffeine, I can't get enough of El Coffee. So,
which is his nickname, right? You don't.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. So I'd be like going, can I get a double shot? I love the interview, and I love the bit, you know, because we have a common answer when people ask us how we are. So I'm still alive. I got up this morning. It's a good day.
Hey, man, eyes open and I'm breathing.
Exactly. Exactly. So, no, I enjoyed every bit of it. And the whole bit, I guess what my takeaway is, the one I've thought about a lot, because I'm very used to, as I've, you know, I've talked about this on previous podcasts about how players will come to Japan and say, it's the best clubhouse I've ever been in.
Yes.
These are the best teammates. And then when I ask, really? They have to go, maybe,
yeah.
No.
Yes. But what's so good about it? Yes.
Exactly. What are they different? Well, of course, one of the things is one player said, well, nobody's like intimidating teammates, or there's no, you know, you don't see any pushing and shoving unless they're spraying beer on each other or something.
Yeah, that's so, a walk off. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's one thing. And it occurred to me that the Japan experience is so radically different for people from accustomed to how things work in Western countries, whether they be Latin countries or North American countries, in the sense that it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
It's skewed differently. And it reminded the way he said it, because usually what I get is people are positive, people are warm, people are not intrusive. You know, there are all these things that are really Japanese. And sure, to us, it's normal. And it reminded me of what an American talk show host posted on Twitter or Facebook or something this past year. He and his family, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, but don't quote me. He came to Japan with his family on vacation, and he said he'd been around the world, and I've always been glad to get home to America and what we were used to.
Mm-hmm.
When we were leaving Japan, we didn't feel that way.
Mm.
We were sorry to leave, you know.
Yeah.
In America, the toilets and the subways are cleaner than in American hotels.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it was refreshing, and because it's refreshing, it's different, and it doesn't mean that America is better or Japan is better, but they're better in different ways.
Ways. Yes.
And then sure, you come here, and it's so refreshingly new. It's like, yeah, it's like the first time you go to this really good and really different restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get enough until
the bill comes.
Well,
hashtag high heat.
Those are the things that you pick up when we eat, right? Except last time. But
oh,
except the last time. But and just because of your generosity, you know. So no, it's not till the bill comes, but until you get used to it all, and you get used to the things that are annoying, or the things that you can't explain, which of course Japan has myriads of those things. So I found that to be really the sort of a the cultural lesson there. Mm-hmm. They all love, there are things about Japan that are absolutely adorable. And I'm glad people can appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, when Gregory is telling me, I'm telling him about this stat, which he obviously already knew.
Yeah.
That was the one thing he didn't say, huh, I don't look at my say. He obviously knew what was going on.
Right.
But I never really realized until I heard him say it, I never really realized how many times I've seen guys in Japan hit a ball over an outfielder's head to the wall on a line, mm-hmm. and just have to the fielder has to put a ball in his pocket because he's not going to throw the runner out. He's just got to sit there at first and eat his dinner because mm-hmm. he's not going to second because he has hit the ball too hard, but not high enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or just as Gregory said, sometimes they just run it down so quickly. And in some cases, for instance, at Jingu or at Zozo Marine Stadium,
right,
and a couple other places, you can hit the ball hard. Tokyo Dome sometimes, you can hit the ball really hard on a line. And if the outfielder plays it just right because he knows he's not going to catch it, if he plays that carom right, he can either throw you out or hold you to first. But I didn't put them together. I didn't realize how many times it happened until he said that, because I remember him like in a single week or a single month this season hitting the ball so hard that he had to stay at first. Mm. And I'm thinking, I remember Soto doing that a couple times where he has blasted a ball off the wall and either in left or in right, and he hits the ball hard sometimes, that he just has to just settle for a single. Mm. And I'm thinking, man, if I really start thinking about it, it comes up more often than anything, but we don't process it that way. We just, my instant thought is, why is that guy not on second? He should be on second. I'm always thinking, it happens at Yokohama Stadium as well. The guys will hit it hard and hit it high off that wall. And the center fielder, by the time he gets over there, he's in great position to play the carom and either throw him out or something. It just happens. So I didn't realize that.
They're not those singles that the guy hits a fly and it doesn't carry as far as he thinks it will. And uh-huh. he's at first because he was doing his home run trot.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're not.
I've
seen the other ones more. Yeah.
No, yep. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
It is really hard. Basically, of course, Japan counteracts that by giving away doubles and triples with two outs in the ninth inning and a runner on second.
By playing the outfield in.
Yeah. Playing, exactly.
Your favorite move.
It is.
I could see Jim at 90 calling up one of his Japanese friends and saying, can you ask that manager to play the infield in one time? I just want to see that because I haven't seen it in a long time when you're 90. Because they stopped doing it for, years.
The worst thing about the new media rules is pretty much we're isolated from the managers. I mean, there were always managers who self-isolated.
Yes.
who didn't want to talk to reporters, and Osamu Higashio, you know who I'm talking about. But there were also guys who were very available. I mean, Hisanobu Watanabe was one, Sadaharu Oh was one, Masataka Nashida was one. A lot of these guys were very available and willing to answer questions. And Shingo Takatsu, I'm dying to ask, what is it with this stuff? Well, I mean, he's not the only one,
mm-hmm.
but he's, and I don't know if it's because I really have to count. Because I watch more Swallows games than other games. I pay attention to more Swallows games than other games. So I don't know if he's the biggest defensive offender,
mm-hmm.
but he might be. But I see other people doing it too. So it's not just him. It's pretty universal in Japan. Anyway, moving on.
So, and then the other thing I liked was how much love he had for Neftali Soto. And you talked about the love that he talked about for his teammates and all these things, but I just thought, I mean, he called Keiko a Hall of Famer. I'm not sure that's like pouring a whole Winnie the Pooh jug of honey onto him, but
yeah.
I think, I mean, yeah, it's good. I mean, he has the gold gloves. He has the Cy
Yeah,
Young, but I'm not
he's got a
sure.
few. Yeah, he's got a few ticks on that odometer, but he's not to the line where we got to start talking that.
Yeah, but
But
I but it but
I'm glad he said it anyway. Gosh, be
it's
nice.
nice. It's nice of him
Be
saying,
nice.
but I think GP was really there was a whole lot of love there for Soto thinking
Sure.
and put almost putting him in the Hall of Fame here in Japan the way he was talking about him. And I love Neftali, and I think
Sure,
he's
me
great, and
too.
he's a big reason why this team is in the playoffs. And speaking of Keuchel, he tore a muscle or strained a muscle somewhere, and he's gonna miss the PLCS, unfortunately. So
Ouch.
yeah, that's not good for him. But that's that was a lot there. And I hear what you're saying about teammates talk or guys talk about how their team is the best that it's ever been or all that kind of thing. I almost thought of you saying that when he was saying that. But the thing that was different from him saying it is that usually we hear that statement from first year guys early on
Right.
in their stay.
Right.
And this is third year in Japan for him, second year with this team, and that's what made it a different thing for me. And that's why I thought, it wasn't going to be an issue. But you did bring it up, so I mean, and you're right. When things are going well, that's the kind of talk we hear, and then when things are not going well, we hear different kind of talk,
Now, the Marines are different. Well, every team is unique, and I think this is something that it's so funny because when I came to Japan, people told me all the managers are the same, all the teams are the same, but we know where that one comes from. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Y'all look alike. It's
Now, where have I heard
unfamiliar.
that before?
I'm afraid to ask, and fortunately, I probably know. Yeah. Well, but the thing is, when people are new and unfamiliar, or you're not paying attention, things do look alike to the uninitiated. But
Sure.
the more I learned about Jack, I mean, I think you and I, or I think, you and I, or Michael Westbay, or any of these guys, most of these people on Twitter, Yaku Cosmopolitans, who could make a list of how each team is somehow different from the others, either in philosophy or culture or
Not
whatever.
much else. Yeah, I mean, scheme or tactics or something or general
Well,
tactics, but
they're
that's.
even different. I remember, my favorite one was people talking about Akira, all the Japanese managers, and I'm saying, no. This is when Akira Ogi was in his prime with the Oryx Blue Wave, and I'm going, dude, this is like Casey Stengel. He's like completely different. He was different. He did things differently. He had two-way, he had fielders who pitched, he had, all these things that weren't allowed. He'd bat his pitchers eighth when he had to, if he didn't have a DH, you name it, he'd do it. If it was off the wall, he'd give it a shot.
So yeah, really, really fun interview. Had a great time talking to the GP, and hope they do well. Let's talk about those matchups now. So everything's set in let's start in the Pacific League. So these Marines will go up to Hokkaido and play the Fighters. Best of three series. When does
All
that
right.
start? Next
The 12th,
weekend?
next Saturday
Yep, on the
at
weekend.
Kita Hiroshima Taxpayers Burden Field.
Oh my goodness. I like that name. A little bit. You have to chew on that a little bit, but anyway. Just make sure you chew it into small pieces before you swallow.
like to call it how I call them how I see them. I don't know what an escon is, so yeah, why not?
So I would, like I said about Keuchel, that really shoots down the Marines in my eye, because I was really thinking about the matchup with Sasaki going in the first game, Keuchel coming back in the second game, and probably Kazuya Ojima
Ojima,
in the third game. And I thought that Ojima would be a key guy, even if they save him, if they pitch him second and pitch Keuchel in the third and decisive game, just for name value and intimidation factor, that could be a thing. But now they're really have to do do some things on the offensive side to win these games. But I think they have the potential. But again, they've had trouble.
Scoring runs has been a problem for them.
Scoring runs and run prevention, especially here in the. I mean, they played so down the stretch. They got a lot of losses from the Eagles. They put a couple on them. You know, they wrapped it up themselves, and they did. They were able to do that in terms of wrapping up that third place spot by putting it on the Eagles when they really need to, when the chips were down, when they needed to. But I'm not sure they can do that to the Fighters, even though offensively it would seem that they have the kind of firepower to do it. I'm just not sure. I'm not confident that they can go up there. So I'm going to take the Fighters to win this series and move on. But it's still going to be a struggle for the Fighters, even, I think, just because there's so much unknown. You know, who's really – I'm sure Hiromi Ito will get the first start. After that, I'm not confident about any of their starters maybe pitching a great game. They might be able to keep them in the game. I'm not sure. You know, and I'm sure Takayuki Kato probably is going to throw.
You know, another one that might – since – There might be a leg short. I think Ayumu Ishikawa might be a good one since nobody's seen him most of the year.
Yeah, but I mean, do you really want him going out there when you don't really know all them about?
Well, what that's to expect? I don't know, man. Yeah. That is a thing. It's an element of surprise,
but the surprise might be on your side. Well, I'm surprised how poorly he pitched. I mean, that might be the element that the surprise is happening with.
Could be. I mean. One never knows. That's the that is one tried and true method, is bringing, you know, it's one that Hiromitsu Ochi I used to great effect in one climax series until he ran out of pitchers the Giants hadn't seen.
Yes. The Fighters I think their ability to get a home run and get one swing and get a game, get control of it or get back into it, and also their ability to strike with the unknown. You still don't know what Tsuyoshi Shinjo, the manager, is going to try to pull off and in what kind of situation when they get runners on. They pitch well enough. They catch the ball well enough. They've got enough speed.
Mm-hmm.
91 bases as a team. Stolen bases this season led the Pacific League. So I really like what they can do. I like them being comfortable and playing at home and with all these young players who – are going to be tasting the postseason for the first time as kind of team leaders, like Chusei Manami as a guy who's a regular and who's out there forward facing player for the franchise right now. This is going to be his first time. So they've got a lot of stuff to prove, but I think they'll end up getting it done.
But they've already proven these people have proven they can survive being managed by Tsuyoshi Shinjo. And that means it's like, they've seen the circus, you know, and nobody's even talking about it anymore. Now it's like, what's Shinjo going to do? Shinjo is no longer the story. The story is the players. And I think that was sort of I don't want to be down on Shinjo. I mean, but the guy basically had nothing but bluster when he came to the job. But he was different, and being different had its intrinsic advantages. Okay, but you know, once the bluster stopped and the story and the players became the story, they took off. You know, and so credit to the Fighters for getting a plan that worked.
Well, the mute button of which you spoke early on in the preseason in the prediction special, it stayed depressed. Yeah.
I'm still shocked. You know, I don't really have a feel for it, but I was shocked when I was told, when one person in the Fighters organization told me what a quiet leader Shinjo has become behind the scenes, giving. And I when I talked to him at a media scrum this summer, I didn't talk to him, but I was listening and having questions for him. But I did get this impression that here is a guy who's basically stopped being a caricature.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is still a little bit because it's in his DNA, but he's stopped pushing that. And he's just sort of being the guy that he can be for this team instead of him being the show. And I think that's a huge thing because these guys can play.
Yes. I mean, they can play. Yes.
The team still looks like a Rubik's Cube. You never know who's going to be playing where, but not as much as the last two seasons. Mm-hmm. Guys are more fixed. Guys are producing. It's more routine. The pitching staff since last year has been quite good. The pitching last year was good. I mean, I think they strike out tons of batters. And if you can do that and you can run and catch the ball, darn, you got half the equation already.
Yep, yep. So we got day games on Saturday and Sunday for the first 2 days of the PLCS first stage. And then if necessary, day games on Monday, which is a national holiday and really is going to cramp my football watching schedule.
Damn.
So I hope there's only one of those games and then I can just record the game and watch after I finish watching my NFL.
Well, the other thing is, of course, they're all
my football. How dare they? I'm sorry. What?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
The temerity.
I know. Smack me. The format is what it is. It's best of three, but they only play 12 innings, so the ties are a possibility. And the home team, all the games are at the higher seeded team's home park.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher seeded team wins any tied series. So if it's one win and one tie for the higher seeded team to advance from the first stage,
mm-hmm.
they don't even need to win two.
Yep. They just need a tie.
So they tie two games, the series goes to a third game and the team with one win would win.
Really?
Yep. No, two ties don't do it.
Two ties don't make a right.
If the series is tied and it's not tied to, yeah, no, it's the best of, they will play three games.
Well, that's weird because if it's 1-1 and it goes to a tie, then they go through.
That's correct because one win and one loss and one tie is a series tie. But one win and no wins is not a tie.
Huh. All right. Let's talk about the Central League now. So we've got the first round matchup, and that's the DeNA Bay Stars going down to Hoshien to play the Tigers. And this is going to be a close one. Obviously, we had Akinobu Okada, the manager of the Hanshin Tigers, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, mm-hmm. or right after this, stepped down this week, announced that he was going to step down.
No, he did not. It was a source that revealed Okada was stepping down.
Oh, I misspoke.
Yes. Now, yes. We'll get to that in a moment. But okay. But basically, the news broke that he was stepping down, and numerous media outlets had it confirmed by some source that Okada was retiring at the end of the season. Okay, that's where that story still is. There's been no confirmation from him. He was asked about it after the Tigers' last game the other night in Yokohama, and he said, "I got nothing to say."
Okay.
Which sounds like, yeah, here we are with the Tigers telling people somebody's retiring, and maybe they are.
All right. Well, now I'm seeing reports as I look for this on Twitter. I'm seeing reports or x.com, whatever you want to say, that Hisanobu Watanabe is not only going to step away as interim manager of the Lions.
Are we still talking about the Tigers and the Bay Stars?
Yes, we are. But okay. I'm looking at this news right now, and this is breaking news.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, that he's going to leave the organization entirely. So we got that. That's a report. And then, so this is, I guess it's all a mess. I looked at the story the other day and it looked like the same wording to me. So I guess part of it was assumption that he made the
announcement. And then when they asked the team president, he's going like, "I'm not talking about it." So, I mean, how much to you does this sound like the Tigers have already bought the flowers for his farewell,
It sounds like, yeah, they made arrangements, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves, because this was the first year where we sensed that he and the media weren't getting along really early.
Well, yeah.
And that's unusual for him, because usually he gets the Tigers media has been eaten out of the palm of his hands for most of his six years in charge.
Yeah. Well, again, whatever the situation is, I think it'll be inspiring for the team as that team goes up against the Bay Stars here in the first round of these playoffs here. But I don't know. I don't like the way either one of those teams has been playing defensively recently.
Oh yeah, they're both error machines.
And but not just that.
It's not just that. No.
Yeah, it's the misplays. It's the throwing the ball. I saw another bad rundown involving the Bay Stars and.
Don't tell Tyler.
Someone
that.
Today, I caught the game in glimpses today. Don't tell me. And somebody overran a foul ball and didn't catch that. And I don't think it led to anything in particular. Just another instance of them adding extra pitches to the pitching staff. So I don't know, but I want to root for the Bay Stars. So I'm going to root for them. But if I were betting, I would have to take the Tigers with the assumption that they're just going to outpitch them. I think. Katsuki Azumi, you know, I mentioned this at the All-Star break. I mentioned this recently as we saw the carp just go belly up, and usually fish go belly up, they float upward, right? And somehow the carp had managed to sink even lower into the depths of the ocean, even though they're supposed to be able to swim.
Yeah, I don't know, a contrafactual mixed metaphor.
There you go. Contrafactual. I like that.
It's like it would be a mixed metaphor if it made sense.
Right.
But since it doesn't make sense, I don't know what to call it.
Well, good. I like the contrafactual. I like that. Usually I like to call things like that floaties, but they're not floating. They're just, they're dead, right? They're sinking. So I don't even know what to call them. But, With the way that they went down like that, it wasn't like the Bay Stars were playing great ball down the stretch and got into this thing. They got a lot of help. And so, Katsuki Azuma and all the rest of the pitchers, I think he showed some signs of fatigue. He had that long streak of quality starts, and then all of a sudden he couldn't put together a quality start. And I think we saw fatigue on his part. I think we saw some Dragons pitchers, some Carp pitchers. Some of the Giants pitchers who actually got rest, but they were not as effective. And I think everybody getting some rest here at the end of the season, very much needed. So I'm going to be rooting for the Bay Stars, but I'd probably have to put my money on the Tigers. I think it's going to be a fun series though. A lot of drama, a lot of tight games, and looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the Tigers better. I think and it's not a deeper team. I mean, I think,
Just the rotation.
Yeah, over the pitching, yeah, 100%. I mean, just more solid top to bottom. I like all the pieces. I mean, Andre Jack, I like all the pieces on both teams, but I like the Tigers. I think the boom factor. I mean, there's more. I think the offense is a better offense. No, I do. I think
they're really close. I can't say better, but I can certainly say that they're, deeper. The lineup is a little bit longer. They have better production from 1 to 8.
So I think the Tigers have the luxury of giving their starters a short leash.
Mm.
And I say that, I don't want to say that with Shoki Murakami in mind, but he's been one of these guys who's just either good or
what's that smell?
Exactly. who cut that? it's okay. There's one guy in the middle of the field. Let's scratch that one. But yeah, I mean, he's been, I don't know what you call him, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Murakami, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's been up and down, but you give him the ball and see if he has one of his games. And if he doesn't, they got a handful of guys who can come in. And I think that's a luxury DNA really doesn't have.
I agree.
I think other than that, they're more or less similar. And the other thing is, I think the Tigers are sort of, they were sort of cruising this. It seemed like they were in second, you know, they were in third gear for much of this season. And not like they found it now, like they found high gear, but I think they've got one. I think they have an extra gear. And I have a lot of confidence in the players on the team. I love a lot of these Tigers players. And I think it's just it's my personal quirks that makes that so.
Okay.
There's something about the way, and I'm channeling Michael Westbay here, but there's something about the way Daisuke Miura that I wish I had a non-pseudo babble name for it, but I like the Tigers, the overall talent level, and I think they're going to find another gear.
All right, so let's stay on the Tigers. I think we're going to go out of order here, but since we're on the Tigers, I titled this segment Off the Rails because the reports came out. I don't know, they were, for me it was Thursday, but I think it was Wednesday night that actually we started hearing the reports that
Wednesday night, that sounds right.
Okaba would step down as manager now. However, those, you know, if he said it or other, it came from other places, it was still a shock. I like to watch some things on YouTube, and one of the channels that pops up because of the algorithms for me is Yutaka Takagi.
Aren't you the lucky one?
Well, he's got a talk show, and I watched a couple, sure. So I guess they come up once in a while. And so he was talking about the fact that he saw Okada in the preseason and said, "How are you doing physically?" And he said, "Fine." And you ready to go for this season? And he said, "Yeah." And things looked fine. So he was kind of caught off guard by this announcement. We have a couple of Hanshin fans at the office. They didn't know what had hit them. So that's why I'm calling it off the rails, because they didn't expect this. He has had a very successful 2-year stint with Hanshin. You know, he broke that 38-year curse. They won a Japan series for the first time since 1985.
Yeah, and
only 66 years old. And I say only because that's young for these managers these days.
Why do you still, he's the oldest manager in Japan, but you know, I mean, it's like they were calling him the oldest guy when Tatsunori Hara was 2 months younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going, huh? Yeah. And Hara acted old. That was the thing. So the thing that's interesting here, and you say that, and he did have a good run. He's been a very successful regular season manager for the Tigers. So he's finished first twice. He's finished runner-up 3 times. He's finished third once and fourth once. And the fourth was his first year as the first team manager. So, you know, he's been really good in the regular season. And he took over, he took over a good team from Akihiro Yano. And it's interesting to me that, you know, the best managers the Tigers have had in the last 20 years both quit. Both have now quit 3 times, if he is in fact quit. And left people shaking their heads. He quit in 2008 after they got knocked out of the playoffs for the 3rd year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, the surprise was that he won a playoff series. He'd won like 1 playoff game in his life. 2005, he won the pennant. He didn't have to win a playoff game because the Central League did not have a playoff system then.
Sure, but you gotta have talent. So
yeah, and they got swept. Yeah. So he didn't win a postseason game that year.
Yeah, and he didn't.
And then he didn't win a postseason game the next year because they were still.
They got overwhelmed by the Marines.
Yeah, 2007, 2008. I think they lost all their. He might have won 1 playoff game, and so last year I was not optimistic.
Yeah, and then but that anyway, was the, that was the Good Dragons teams, right?
So, yeah. I mean, that's correct. So anyway, so he has that solid track record as a season manager. And all I could think of when I saw this was this time he wants to quit before he loses in the playoffs.
Ooh.
Instead of after. I don't know. But I'm a big fan and I was surprised. But I think the funniest thing was Typically when stories break like this, and the story was a source, it said an official, a baseball official. So somebody with a team or somebody with a league, more likely the team said, he's going to retire. And then when he was asked about it, he said, I got nothing to say. And the team said, well, we've got nothing to say. So what?
We'll keep watching out. But anyway, yeah. The report that I read said that Kyuji Fujikawa at 44 he's at the front of the line somehow to be the replacement. And that just seems like an odd choice to me. And
yeah, he's never coached or managed. So yeah. That does seem like an odd choice. I'm a huge fan of Fujikawa. He's a very philosophical, deep mm-hmm. thinker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the kind of, you know, he came out of high school baseball and he's not, you know, he's a pretty deep guy for a guy who came out of high school ball.
Mm-hmm.
Without going playing in college or anything. So
sure.
I'm a fan. I don't think that's a great idea, but I almost, you know, this thing almost tells me like he was the end of his, this was the end of Okada's 2 year, his last year of Okada's 2 year contract. And the other managers who won Japan Series recently all got contract extensions this year. I mean, speaking of Satoshi Nakajima and Shingo Takatsu, they were both told they want him back for next year.
Hmm.
So, and then Okada says, you know, not me. I'm going, that's weird. But, you know, he is maybe, I don't know what it is, because he's the manager who's sort of really been the best fit for the Tigers.
Yeah.
And maybe other than Senichi Hoshino, and he left because he has it made him sick.
Yeah, well, he looks older than the 66 years.
He does.
Probably,
He looks more like my dad than my older brother.
Yeah, I along with the people at the office speculated it might be health related.
Could
but
be.
That they're keeping it a secret. So we'll just have to keep an eye out on that. We'll just watch and see what happens and how the team reacts. I don't care what he says. I think it's more about what the team says, and they'll probably... The longer they stay quiet, the more I'm convinced he's leaving. But as soon as they come out and say, oh, no, you know, we've offered him a position or something like that, we'll find out. So we'll have to watch.
Yeah, the only thing was, yeah, I kept thinking as soon as he decided not to talk about it, I thought, boy, this sounds like Takashi Toritani and the Tigers telling everybody he's retiring. And he's going, hold on a second, I'm not retiring. And they said, yes, you are. We already bought the flowers. We already planned the party. Yes, you are. Don't say no.
We already bought the flowers. You get in that grave now, young man.
Yeah, the Tigers were planning to retire his number with him still in it.
All right, we got to move along or we'll never finish. So we'll make a four-seam transition here and talk about Tomoyuki Sugano. And I got an email that actually came in the middle of the night last night with a link to Jeff Passan of ESPN, his story reporting that Tomoyuki Sugano is going to make a jump to the big leagues. And talk about a week of surprises. I guess this one just capped it. And he'll be an international free agent. He'll be 35, which I believe it's the story said he's turning 35 next week.
Yep.
So I'll tell you this, the Dodgers could use him right now in their postseason rotation. And this is before we even get the game started. I'm not going to watch because I don't have any expectation other than maybe Yamamoto will not pitch as poorly against San Diego as he did in his very first major league game. But other than that, I have no expectations of this pitching staff getting the Dodgers anywhere near a World Series. So
yeah,
they could use him. But I think this is weird. At this age for Sugano, we've always talked about how the Giants don't post their players.
They posted him by accident. I don't mean they didn't intend to, but they didn't originally intend to. But one day they came back from a meeting and they said, and like half the team's top executives said, we allowed Shun Yamaguchi to do what? We gave him a clause that says we were going to post him? Who was I? Because that blew that all out of the water. And then they said, look, we just got this guy 3 years ago and we're posting him? And it's like, you know, we can't treat the players who got us where we were worse than this guy who, you know, pushed around and injured a hospital security guard, you know, and had drinking issues. So they were basically put in a position where we've got this guy who really wants to go to MLB. And if he asks, we'll have to let him go. So they didn't, I don't think they ever intended to post him, but between that and his uncle being the manager, they did. Now he didn't sign an MLB, and my belief is that I think COVID had a thing to do with it because of some players' poor experience in MLB in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps Yamaguchi and also Masahiro Tanaka had an effect on him.
Okay,
but yeah, it is interesting. I'm really curious. I haven't talked to any of the MLB scouts that advise me on these things, so I don't really know where his standing is. He certainly wasn't anywhere on the radar when I did a story this spring about the top 10 prospects in him in MLB.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know what team might be a good fit for him, but I'm honestly not sure how much he has left. He has had back issues and other injury problems in recent years, and he managed to stay healthy this year, one, and then be a different version of himself. Yes,
his command, which has always been the best part of his game, was perhaps as good as it's ever been.
Yes, he was confident on the mound. But what's his expectation in the major leagues? What kind of team takes a chance on him? What kind of numbers could we expect him to put up at 35?
No idea.
It'll be a fun watch, but I'm not expecting a lot.
I think he could do something similar to Hisanori Takahashi and have success in long relief and an occasional start. We saw Tsuyoshi Wada and Daisuke Matsuzaka do that in their best in MLB. And so that's more or less what I see.
Yeah. Well, if I'm a GM over there, I'm sorry, I don't go near the guy.
Unless I can get him real cheap. I think that's the thing. I think teams will be willing to give him a shot to see what he can do, you know, because he's
the Angels.
Hashtag high heat.
Boy, you're being mean. What are you? You're not like Sugata's a nice guy. Don't be like that.
I don't want to see any more Angels games until they get a good product on the field. So no, it's a joke.
No, yeah, be nice. I like him. He's a nice guy. Don't throw the Angels at him. Jeez.
When you go to the Angels, you go to hell. Anyway.
Yeah, could be.
Anyway, all right, let's pick a two-seam transition and go rocking with Roki. So, yeah, he pitched on Tuesday. He pitched a five-hit complete game. He beat Rakuten 5-1 in Sendai. One run, five hits, no walks, 10 Ks. That's the kind of performance that gets you a rocking with Roki segment.
Yeah, brilliant. And I think this was one of his best games. In fact, one of his best games might not even have been his perfect game, but that's another story. That's arguable. But three best career games. This was it. First complete game in 2 years. The real deal. Interesting in so many ways. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was normal was his command was about normal. It was a little better than normal. He was able to command all his pitches. Three other things so far this year. One of the keys to his best games has been a velocity, a fastball that was over at least 159. His fastest pitch was at least 159 kilometers per hour, but on October 1st it was 157. So that seemed like down, but his sweeper is really coming along.
Developing good.
Yep. And he was throwing it the left-handers, right-handers, pretty much all the way. His splitter was useful, which is has been a big problem for him. His splitter has been the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
It was useful. He threw 43 sweepers in this game, which is the most he's ever thrown in it. His most sliders he's thrown in a game in his professional career. And here's the thing about the splitter. Okay, now, whenever you face Rock 10, you're going to throw more pitches to lefties and righties, unless they're all swinging at the first pitch.
Okay.
Because they're stacked left-handed, pretty much. He threw 26 splitters, 25 of them to left-handed hitters.
Wow.
The other one was a ball.
Well, you're saying that like they were other ones were strikes.
No, I'm not saying that, but he was getting good swings and misses on the splitter. So, okay. No, that was that. So that's basically the profile of the game. That is what the, you know, I've been keen to write a story after Roki Sasaki ranked number one in that previous story I alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
Of the top 10 MLB prospects in Japan, of Japanese MLB prospects. And I've been tempted to go back to those guys and say, is he still number one after this season?
Yeah.
And the answer is probably, I said, after this game, it says, yes.
And yeah. he can snap back even better with a good postseason performance here against
good
the
deal.
Fighters. So. We'll have to see that, but I didn't. I had this
last year. We saw four inning game from him, and that was it. Three inning game.
I just know he threw against Stewart,
and he did not pitch in this in the final stage. So,
yeah, I just remember he pitched against Carter Stewart Jr.
Yep.
And
okay.
I got to go to that game. So yeah, I had this game on TV on Tuesday, and I saw him pitch here and there, but I am busy with other things, and he obviously pitched well results wise, and he has back-to-back games now with 10 Ks, so that's good, and no walks. He's being closer to the dominant guy we expected to see. Really loved seeing that, but I didn't get to see as much of this game as I wanted to, so I'm looking forward to watching him start hopefully game one of the PLCS up there in Hokkaido and see how he does, but much better. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, so Tony, in Busan, you are more popular than we are, because anytime I put anything out there on Twitter or I say something on the show and say answer on Twitter, I get crickets, some cicada, some tweeting birds, but I don't get any replies from actual people. But one of our listeners, I like to call him Rokudan, but I think it's Rock mm-hmm. Dan, via x.com. He had a reply to your question that you asked us last week. He had a response to the way TV directors or producers are producing these baseball games. And he said, basically on X, he said, regarding Tony's question, the first of many NPB games I watched, those first base camera angles were incredibly confusing. Now I'm used to it and give it no thought. Kyocera Dome is an exception. They use a behind the plate cam for balls in play. Mm. And so that's what he had to say about it. And again, I put something out there. I get nothing. Jim put something out there. He gets minimal response. But Tony, you get a response right away. You're awesome.
Yep. That's what I call it.
We get nothing. We get shut out. I blame you, Jim.
Well, that's normal. I mean, not just
me. I was going to say, I'm not the only one who's blaming you.
You're not. That's
I know I'm not.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm the guy. I'm the go-to guy.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got playoff baseball coming up this next weekend. We will be back with you after either game one or game two. We'll see how it goes. See how much energy I have next week. But yeah, I'm glad postseason baseball is here. Looking forward to the playoffs. I think we're going to really see some exciting games. So I'm looking forward to that. Dave, we will get to your question next week. Anyone else who has a question, hit us up on x.com at JBW Podcast with the hashtag High Heat. Send questions via email to yakyujohn@gmail.com or leave us a note on the Facebook page. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your postseason.
And see you at those ballparks.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at JBallAllen. Submit your questions with hashtag High Heat and listen for an answer in an upcoming episode.